You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Woodman Corner, the West Bromwich Albion podcast that now understands why Albion opted against signing Ali Gabbia. I'm Graham Brown and I'm sat here with fellow Albion fan Joe Chapman.
Hello Graham, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And we also have a notional, I think I'm allowed to say you're not an Albion fan, Alex Dickin.
My granddad was. So.
Yeah. God, what we thought we'd do.
I'm almost there.
We thought we'd continue to be an Albion fans podcast, but have a more dispassionate view about it. Because what we're doing today is, in light of the fact that we've read a lot of stories recently about interest in Foster, Ghazi, Dawson, and others, we thought we would do our official view of what we thought the each Albion player is worth out there in the transfer market. I can tell you I've been totting mine up and I work out that the Albion squad is worth about £160 million, but that's not on the basis that you take money off for the likes of Gareth Barrett and Hal Robson-Carney, which you probably have to. mate, if you got any time for Hal Robson-Carney, you came into the wrong room. So just in general, before we bounce into this, we're seeing the likes of Foster, Dawson, obviously the likes of Chadley, but moreover Rodriguez and Livermore coming into as players that are going to go elsewhere. Of those players, let me say Foster, Gibbs, Hegazi, Livermore, Rodriguez, how many of them are still at Albion at the start of next season?
Well, I think despite the recent interest that the feeling you got off Ben Foster at the back end of last season speaking to him was certainly that certainly at that time in April time he had no intentions of kind of angling for a move or anything like that. Very settled in the West Midlands. He's obviously got his family here. He's from here. He's been at Albion for a long, long time. So the stage of his career as well, I'm not sure he'd be ready to kind of just uproot and, you know, kind of just for the sake of being in the Premier League.
Although at this point he's not come out and said anything about those Watford things, has he?
No, but I suppose players don't really, do they? Not unless you're James McLean.
I suppose more interesting Dawson. We're starting to report Dawson's going to go. Alex, is Dawson going to be an Albion player at the start of the season?
I look at, obviously, dropping down to the Championship, you think the only reason someone like Dawson would, you know, want to leave Albion, is quite a decent sized club, they'll obviously pay him quite well, would be to potentially play in the Premier League to, I suppose, realise England ambitions. But Craig Dawson's not going to play for England, is he? So I don't really understand why he'd leave Albion and go to a similar club in the Premier League rather than just stick it out for one more year, remain popular with a fan base that already adore you, and get him back to the Premier League. I can't see Dawson going. I mean, you see the teams mentioned. Burnley's, it's obvious, isn't it? I mean, if you look at the player Craig Dawson, he's perfect for Sean Dyche and Burnley. But I mean, what's the point? What's the point in going to a Burnley? If Albion were to get promoted next year, it's a pretty backward step, isn't it, Burnley?
My hope with Dawson would be, because I would like to see him stay to offer some form of continuity, is that Albion can offer him the same wages that Burnley are going to offer him for one season, give him one season crack in it. If not, you maintain the same clause, you're equally able to go, and we kind of won't send you away. I think the deciding factor of this might be Darren Moore. I would like to think playing for Darren Moore. That said, I mean, I am in no way in the know, but having spoken to one or two people who are more so, I get the impression Dawson does want to go, which would be a shame.
Yeah, he wanted to go about 4 years ago, didn't he? And at that point, he was obviously of an age where he needed to be playing football. He was kind of early to mid-20s, and Burnley came calling. And even then, he was Sean Dyche's kind of player. And Alan Irving said, you know, come on, just stick with it. Find you a place in the starting 11. He started playing alongside Jerling Lescott early on and ended up signing a new deal.
Yeah.
And the transfer request was withdrawn. but it's quite clear that Dyche is still a fan. He does, as you say, he does fit that bill. He's obviously from the Northwest, so you know that kind of link is an obvious one to make. European football, etc., etc.
European football.
But, yeah, European football at Turf Moor.
What a world we live in.
So.
Okay, I've asked everyone who's on this podcast this, but not you yet, Alex. So let's ask this: £20 million for Jay Rodriguez. Do you sell?
Yeah, 100%. What's he scored? 11 goals in all comps last year. What, 7 in the Premier League?
Yep.
Yeah, £20 million for Jay. Yeah, 100%.
And you report a lot on Villa and other lowly Championship sides. Could you replace Jay Rodriguez with a player of similar ilk to Jay Rodriguez for a lot less than that?
Ross McCormack's available at Villa.
On a more serious note, I'd imagine Lewis Grabban's probably up for sale, isn't he?
Yeah, well,
Lewis Grabban is the player I always think of.
That's the thing, yeah, because I think it was £5 million.
He's a real fox in the box, isn't he?
£5 million teams quoted last year, so what, a 30-year-old who's going to get you 20 goals at Championship? Perfect.
Which he would do, wouldn't he? He would get you 20 goals next year.
But you could easily, I mean, if you get £20 million for Rodriguez, you could get a £10 million striker will get you 20 goals a year. And then you can probably get two more players in midfielder, Romain Sawyers, whatever, and Ryan Woods. So, yeah. I mean, it's no brainer.
Joe, £20 million for Joe.
£20 million, yes, certainly, I'd take £20 million. If you'd have said to me about kind of March, April time, I'd have had Joe Rodriguez towards the top of my list of players that Albion must keep. But if they were to be offered £20 million tomorrow by a Premier League club, then I'm struggling to see how you turn that down.
Yeah,
he's a guy who's going to be 28. I think he's been good for Albion in a lot of senses and. He towards the back end of the season he had a pretty fruitful time relatively speaking with Rondon up front, but you couldn't turn down £20 million.
The other thing, as I think I've said this before, so I'll say it briefly, is you can see the cost of not selling players at their peak at Albion already. You know that,
yeah.
if you just count Berahino and Evans alone, you're talking about, you're in the arena of £30 million that you've blown away by not selling players at the right time.
Still £15 million for Salo Berahino. Absolutely incredible.
will remain wonderful business.
What's kind of sweet that, yes. Right, well, let's bounce into this now. So I've got a list of Albion players in front of me now and what I think they're worth. So let's bounce to it. First one, Ben Foster. Ben Foster is 35. He's been linked with a £10 million move to Watford. I am saying I would be happy if they sold for £8 million. What are you saying, Joe?
It'd be interesting if that actually came to fruition, really, and you know, £10 million gets slapped in, as the tabloids like to say. Where do Albion go with that? He's such a vital part of the dressing room, on the pitch. The fitness worries that have once dogged him in, you know, aren't there, well, they weren't there last season. If an offer was to come in for say £10 million, I think you'd be hard pressed to reject it, wouldn't you?
Well,
for a 35-year-old goalkeeper,
I'd accept it. What are you saying? I'm a
£10 million. Yeah, I think with Foster, I think it comes down to him whether he wants to stay, because I mean, if he wants to stay, Albion will have no trouble rejecting. I mean, that's a decent bid. But no trouble rejecting bids for him. But I mean, obviously, there's nothing to gain for Foster at 35. Is that to kind of up sticks and leave this area where he's lived here for what, 6-7 years now?
Oh, no. Beyond that, yeah.
You might make the case that you can commute from Leamington to Watford relatively as easily as you could from Leamington.
And he's already played for Watford as well, so he knows that club. You know,
he definitely doesn't want to move, but I don't think he needs to move.
Yeah,
I think he's
just
no.
What's your value, Joe?
Well, £10 million, yeah, I'd take. I don't. If you were to value Ben Foster tomorrow at 35, former England goalkeeper, who towards the end of the season was absolutely excellent. I thought he put in some really, really strong performances at the end of last season, with a pretty wobbly defence in front of him. I don't know. You're plucking figures out of the air, aren't you, really?
I mean,
five, 6 million? I don't know.
Welcome to our podcast, plucking figures out there. Go on, pluck a figure out there.
I think 6-7 million. 7 million, to be fair, I think.
6 million. We signed him for four. If you were to get a profit on him for,
I mean,
6-7 years old.
10 sounds crazy for a 35-year-old goalkeeper who's probably got what? He's got 5 years left, hasn't he?
Tops. But he's already said before, you know, about his knees. He calls them his glass knees. They could go at any time. Do you know what I mean? Could go midway through next season.
Ten million.
That's why the goalkeeper that Albion must recruit this summer has to be in a position to challenge him, and not someone that's just you know, another Boas Mayer. There needs to be someone that really has to come in and push for the first team place.
Well, it reminds me to see if that happens. The Alan Neil, what's he worth?
Neil, I can't imagine the clubs would be queuing up for Alan Neil this summer, but a couple of million maybe. I've gone with.
Last time I watched Neil was actually in an under-23 game against Villa at Walsall's ground. About 6 months ago, and he came toe-to-toe with Callum O'Hare. For those who don't know, Callum O'Hare is probably the smallest player in football, and Neon fell over. They came shoulder-to-shoulder and O'Hare won. So based on that, I don't know how he kind of survived in the Premier League towards the end of last season.
To be fair to Neon, he just played ice skates. You try it.
He's an enigma, Alan Neon. There were times last season where he really played out of his skin. And then this year he's really, or this season just finished, he's really struggled, and for large parts, particularly when Pardew was there, he didn't play as much as he would have liked, and Dawson played right back, and all of a sudden he lost his place in the team. So yeah, he's one of those. After losing McCauley and Evans, and interest is going to continue with Dawson, you'd expect Neon to be there.
I mean, depending on what he earns, if he doesn't earn an awful lot, I'd keep him as a squad player.
Well, no, and that's what I mean. I would say 4 million. So the spirit of this is, what is he worth to Albion? What's it worth selling? I've gone for 4 million. The reason being, I mean, that's loosely what we pay for him, but moreover, exactly that reason, that Albion have got to fundamentally restructure their squad. Meanwhile, in Neon, you have what is at Championship level and a passable left and right back for your squad.
Yes,
he'd get in most Championship sides.
And he could play, he could play as part of a back three as well.
Exactly. And plausibly will do next season. So for that reason, and in light of the fact that I think Dawson will go, who's the alternative right back, I wouldn't be looking to get, in fact, 4 million might be conservative for me. I don't want to see Alan Neil leave Albion particularly.
I saw a report earlier that suggested Nottingham Forest are quite close to snapping up Sam Byron. Now, I think someone like that would be ideal.
He's not played for 3 years, though, as I said.
He hasn't. That's something that, of course, is a question mark over a lot of players. And Rodriguez was one of them when you signed him. You think about the fitness issues and players like that. Kind of players that kind of go under the radar that need a fresh start.
It's interesting at fullbacks. I think we need to sign a different kind of fullback who can get forward. And actually, to certain extent, Neil needs that. Neil's got a real engine. He just hasn't got any final ball. I hope that Darren Moore signs solid citizens. I don't know whether Sam Byron is or isn't, but the main thing is, to go to the kind of Sean Dyche way of signing the right kind of person rather than the player who's performed in the Premier League or something. So let's go next. Kieran Gibbs. Alex, what's Kieran Gibbs worth of the Albion?
Well, what do they pay for him?
So that was suggested to Tony Pulis last season, and he laughed at that. He said it was a good bit less, because there was obviously talk initially that Albion were close, and then Watford came in. This was like earlier on in the summer. Watford came in, then Watford were expected to sign him. That didn't happen, and then Albion ended up revisiting it very, very late in the window. And of course, Arsenal had signed Kolasinac, already had Monreal, and were very, very happy to let him go. So, with Gibbs, it's a tough one, I think, because he's about 28, he's English, there's a queue of left-backs ahead of him in terms of international football. So that's like Dawson, that's not really anything that's likely to happen anytime soon.
What's your number, John?
I'd still be looking for a pretty decent profit on him, though, Gibbs. I think he's a pretty handy left-back. I think he'd be very good in the Championship, so I've put 10 mil.
As have I.
Have you?
I don't think he disgraced himself in the Premier League, has he? So
he did okay, and he ended the season strong.
He was one of the Albion players kind of who was most consistently decent over last season. So I'd say I think anything around 10 million, 12 million, I think you're looking at. It's good.
That's going right, isn't it?
He is a left back, isn't he? So kind of fullbacks don't go for that much, do they?
You only buy a left back if you need one, don't you? Yeah. Right, Dawson. I've gone Craig Dawson. I would make my peace at £18 million. I justify this because Alfie Mawson has talked about a player that's kind of 25 to 30 million. Michael Keane, who moved to Everton last season at a slightly in a slightly more depressed market, went for 25 million. He's
he's no worse than either of those. He's in England also, and a bit older than Morse, but equally a bit more experienced. So I think minimum we should be looking for something in the arena of 18 million. What do you reckon, Joe?
Yeah, I'll put 20. It would be suggested that
I'm about to enrage a fan base here, aren't I?
I've been suggested that Albion are looking for more than that, and that the idea that Burnley offered 25 for him and Rodriguez was laughed at, because unfortunately, I take your point about Mawson and Michael Keane, and these are English centre backs. Harry Maguire went for 17 million. All right, he's played at the World Cup now, but he previously hadn't played for England, and he'd just been relegated with Hull.
Yeah.
So it's the going rate, I think, these days. Dawson's an experienced defender. He's versatile. He can play in two positions. You get your 5 goals a season. Mm-hmm. He's fearless. Chuck his body anywhere and everywhere around the pitch. He's a fitness freak. You know, he's never injured.
Plays in two positions.
Yeah, there are a lot of boxes that he ticks, and I think Albion are well within their right to ask that, to demand that.
Anyway,
they're not in a position where they need to sell him. But
our listeners are itching to be upset by Alex's view on that. So we're saying 18 to 20 million for Dawson.
So Craig Dawson's 28 years old. So that's around the same age that James Chester was when he left Albion a couple of years ago to go to Villa.
Yeah,
and that fee was around 8 million.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I don't think that Craig Dawson's much better, if at all, than James Chester. And now I would value Chester at around 10 million. So if I'm looking at Dawson, given that he's played in the Premier League for the last couple of years, and he's played well at right back, well at centre back, I'm just looking at it now, and there's reports that West Brom have rejected West Ham's £12 million bid for Dawson, but honestly, I think around 12 million would be fair. And
get out. Well, if only there was some opportunity for James Chester and Craig Dawson to let's say compete for the same place in the team.
Oh wait,
to see who's. Oh wait, wait a second. That did happen
at right back, wasn't it?
At right back.
No, yeah. Before Tony Pulis bombed Chester out to left back.
Yeah, and that was only because Chester was too good at crossing. well, no, that's interesting. So you're saying about 12 million?
I'd say around 12 million. Yeah.
To be fair, I wouldn't contest that Dawson necessarily is a much better player than Chester. What I would say is he's got more Premier League experience, and the selling team doesn't need to sell. That's the difference, you know.
Yeah.
Chester's value now is depressed to some extent because they don't have a.
See, I would say Chester is worth probably 15 mil. Personally,
Chester, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's what club you're at. If it was at exactly. Newcastle,
right, Villa exactly, won't get 15 yeah. million.
It depends who you are, doesn't it? If you're the buying club, you're thinking, oh, Dawson, I don't think he's worth much more than 12, but if you're an Albion fan, you're thinking 20 million.
I don't think
where he's going, I want 20 million as well.
Exactly. The thing is, I don't actually think Dawson is worth 20 million, but I think.
There we have it.
No, but I think.
This is about what he's worth to Albion.
Exactly. I think as a player, Dawson's not worth 20 million, but then Mawson's not worth 25, and Michael King's not worth 25.
Michael King was 30, wasn't he, I think?
30 million, maybe, was it?
But I suppose he was young at the time.
Yeah. But the significance of Dawson is he's the one player at centre-half that could potentially remain at Albion and actually be any good. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And Dawson, you could give Dawson the captaincy next year, do you know what I mean? And say, here's a new contract, which is almost as good as your Premier League contract.
And you can get out of it after a season. So, no. Mm-hmm. So let's go to our favourite kicking boy, Ahmed Hegazi. So, Joseph, what would you accept for Ahmed Hegazi?
Not showered himself in glory this World Cup, has he, really? Didn't shower himself in all that much glory in the Premier League.
Actually, Hegazi had one good game, but it was the one where they defended most deep, which tends to be the way with Hegazi.
Yeah. If you're going to be a ball playing side, you're going to have more possession than your opponents, which Albion are expected to have in the Championship next season. Going to play a fairly high line.
Yep.
The Championship has got better, I think, than the last time Albion were there. The players are quick, they're agile, they're skillful. There'll be a lot of teams a lot of mid-table Championship teams that can hurt Albion next season with that kind of in that kind of particular scenario.
But in terms of him as an asset, he's being linked with Spurs and Wolves and so on. Is that because he's got a brilliant agent?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. He's at the World Cup, so ultimately he's in a window whether Albion are interested in selling him or not.
Yeah.
If Egypt had topped the group and kept 3 clean sheets, then all of a sudden, you know, he gets a lot of interest.
Just to be clear, Egypt bottomed the group and kept no clean sheets.
Yeah, lost every game, and between Hegazi and Gabir, they didn't look particularly convincing.
So, in the spirit of that, What is a figure you'd use?
I've said 4 million, which I think is probably around what...
Wait till you hear my figure.
Which is probably around what they pay for him.
Yeah. Go on.
I was actually... I mean, I've just completely laughed kind of your argument off, and then you came up with a really low valuation. I was going to go actually a bit higher than that.
Well, I'm a lot higher than that.
Oh, God. So I was going to go around 8 million.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's worth your logic. I don't think there's much between him and Dawson. Dawson's probably a little bit better for me, but Dawson's English, and given the way the kind of homegrown quota goes now, Dawson is going to be worth more in our market. So Agassi, being from Egypt, and you know, he's not really valuable in terms of like team selection to any manager who signs him. I 8 million, I think, is fair.
Well, I think in terms of value in Hagazi, I think for a start, we paid about 4.5 million for him in the middle of last season. He spent an entire season uninjured, which I think appreciated his value in terms of when we signed him. You know, we signed him as a player that, you know, the likes of Fiorentina had sufficient interest in before, but he was injured and was seen as someone who was kind of an injury threat. So he should have appreciated in that regard. I've put 10 million quid. I think I probably prefer Alex's valuation. But the reason why I said 10 million quid is, even though I am concerned about Garcia next year, I think it's really, really likely he's going to be the only centre half we have left when it all washes through. I think we're going to need to buy at least two, possibly three centre halves, and we just don't need to lose them all, really. So much as I'm not a massive fan of his, I'd rather it.
Don't get me wrong, I wouldn't be against that, you know, Agassi could play 50 matches next season in the Championship. He's proven this season that his injuries, that worries that have plagued him in the past, that, well, a lot much like Foster, weren't there last season, that he didn't miss a Premier League game, I don't think.
No.
I think he'd be a fairly competent Championship centre-back.
Let me throw out a question to you two that watch a lot of football. Who's a better player, Ahmed Hagazi or Aidan Flint?
I've never...
I think Flatters to deceive. Personally, he scores a few goals.
I've never understood the hype around Flint, to be honest. I remember covering Blues after him last summer, and Lee Johnson was being come out as like £10 million and things like that. It's just mental. It's crazy for Aidan Flint, who's
he's probably worth half of that.
28-year-old centre half. He's slow as they come. He scores goals. To be fair, I think he scored 15 in one league one season, but that is league one. And he scored a hat trick against Walsall, and that's no you know, tough feat. But Hagazi is better than Flint for me. But Flint's English again, so
yeah,
he's worth more.
So we're into midfielders now. Let's start off with the one that I've been sticking up for most on this podcast, Jake Livermore, and I'll go with my valuation first. I'd be disappointed if Albion sold Jake Livermore for any less than £18 million.
Whoa.
If you could see Alex's face.
Can we get visuals on Alex, please?
I'll justify it again. He's English. He will be in demand. As I understand it, Albion have rejected more than that from him in the past. And this is about his value to the Albion. And I think as a club that's, you know, last season we had Krakowiak, we had Barry, Brunt is a year old. That's an area that we're clearly looking to strengthen with the likes of Sawyers and Woods and so on. I just think he'd be valuable to us to keep for a season. He's played in the Championship before. He's a competitive midfielder that can last a 46 game season. I just don't really want to lose him particularly, so I'm going, that's where I'm at, 80 million, and I think it's plausible they won't get much lower than that.
Like Kieran Gibbs and Foster, and to an extent Matt Phillips, he'd be a player I'd be particularly keen on keeping.
Yeah,
at Albion, definitely with Livermore. Not even so much the kind of just the sheer fact that we actually haven't got any other midfielders. It's more to do with that he's an experienced midfielder who has enjoyed promotion from the Championship before, gets the league. Albion paid 10 million for him. I'd be disappointed if they didn't make a profit on him.
So what number have you put down?
I've gone for 15.
Very conservative. So,
he's an England international. He was an injury away from
England. He's a present England international.
That's what he's an injury from elsewhere in the squad away from being in the World Cup squad.
So I could paint you a picture, Alex looked horrified when I said 80 million quid.
This is the thing.
Now tell me he's worth 500k.
When Joe told me his valuation earlier, I was laughing. But then, to be fair, I did realise that Livermore they paid 10 million, and he is an England international. And when England win the World Cup, Livermore should be there getting his medals. Well,
hashtag it's coming.
John Terry in the shirt.
He's played a decent part in getting us there. I don't think he's worth 80 million. I don't think he's worth 15 million, but I suppose they've got to make some sort of profit on the 10 million, so I'd put him around 12 million again.
You know, it's said that under Pulis's time that they turned down 20 million plus from Leicester for
who was making those calls?
I'm not allowed to say. Next, Matt Phillips is another. You're about to prepare those eyebrows to go again. I'm going to go again first. I don't think it's worth selling Matt Phillips for any less than 9 million.
Oh, that's fine. I was about to drop my number. That's fine.
9 million quid. So Phillips is capable. Much like Livermore, is capable of being the Championship Player of the Season next year if form and confidence is there for him. Equally, he's capable, as he has this season, of being pretty absent for the whole time. But I think fundamentally, the teams that are going to be interested in Phillips are going to be lower half of the Premier League, upper half of the Championship teams that we're competing with anyway. I don't really see any value in selling him off anymore. I think there's other assets like McLean and Burke that they'd be better off selling. So I might even be being conservative there. I just don't really want Phillips to go particularly. Got Alex, what you're saying?
Well, I've always liked Phillips, actually. I think there's a really, really good player in there.
There
just
is.
Waiting to get out. You know what really frustrates me about him? Why has he got no confidence?
Yeah.
Like, you've got all the pace in the world. You're quite big, strong. I mean, we've seen so many times you can whip a shot in from 30 yards. It can fly in the top corner.
You can also whip a free kick into the upper tier of the Bromley Road end.
He can, but
don't dent his confidence.
But it's like corner delivery is quite consistent. You're right. He's a 6'3" muscular bloke that has great, who has good delivery. There is a good footballer in there.
A really good footballer, which is why I thought you were going to say 19 million actually, and you led us into it. And I was about to collapse, but I don't think 9 million is unreasonable. I'd probably go about 7 or 8.
Yeah,
that's fair enough.
Yeah, I've got 8. Although I forgot the million as well, so my total currently reads of 8 quid. But yeah, 8 million.
That's still more than
what is your agenda? What is your agenda?
No, I've already made it clear. Phillips is a player that I think could do some damage in the Championship, and he'd be in a better squad next season, or hopefully he'll be in a better squad next season than he was when he was at QPR, when he stood out kind of there. You know, better players around him than when he was at QPR under Ian Holloway or whoever it was there at the time.
Yeah.
Then I think he could be a really, really, you know, effective player next season.
Forgive this question, because I'm really fickle and I have a really short memory. He turned round somewhat under Moore, didn't he? He didn't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He played. He scored the goal at Newcastle. He played really, really, really well at home to Liverpool.
Yes. Yes, he did.
And was possibly man of the match for me that day. Yeah, he became quite effective. He seemed to pick up, and as Alex has already touched on, he's got these confidence issues where he has to really start believing in himself a little bit more. And we saw that last season.
But I don't know.
Last season was half and half. The season before last was half and half. He was brilliant for half a season, and he was dreadful for the other half.
I don't know that we'll ever go over that. I mean, you've seen examples of it before. Dorans is a player I'd throw in there as someone who, if he had the personality, Kumas. If he had the personality, he'd be a terrific player. Jason Kumas, if he had the personality, would be a legend in this country. He was a phenomenal, but he just didn't have that personality to drive. And I'd say Dorans is the same, but I think to a different extent, it's similar to this. You get this, you know, it's not a given that you've got a kind of that drive and that personality. You know, Cristiano Ronaldo is a really good example of someone who has it, but who has both.
Yeah.
But they're a rarity, and I mean, what a player he would be if he was always confident.
I mean, watch the Championship over the last year, like the left backs and right backs in that league, he will absolutely destroy them.
Yeah.
If it's a confident Matt Phillips, he will absolutely destroy them. Maybe the player of the year by a mile.
Yeah.
But it's obviously whether he can kind of get it right in his head and believe in how.
More, I think he appeared to really, really enjoy it under Moore. So.
Yeah.
That's one promising sign.
It's the right age. I'm going to bounce through James Morrison and Chris Brunt because I don't think their values are particularly relevant, and go to James McLean, whose value at the moment is very relevant. Alex, what would you sell James McLean for?
6 million.
Joe?
6 million.
And I've got 6 million finally.
Yeah,
I think
that's something that, you know, everything considered, I understand Gary Wright's a big fan. I'm surprised he's kind of chased him up. I thought maybe his calibre, the right word, of target maybe would have kind of shifted up a notch when he went from Derby to Stoke, but
nope.
He's still keen on McLean. 6 million is four times what Albion paid for him.
Yeah.
And they've had him for 3 years. So,
and it's
29 now.
Mm. It's not like it's a position where we're particularly. He wouldn't be difficult to replace.
You got Burke, you got Phillips. Yeah. I'm sure wingers will still be on Moore's radar. So, 6 million for James McLean is a very good business for me.
Yeah.
I think they sold Ramadan Sobhi for 5.5 to Huddersfield Stoke. So they've got the money, they've got the squad space to, you know, go and kind of make that deal happen. He's not gone to pre-season tour to Portugal with the rest of the squad because he's been on international duty, so he's got an extra week off. So he's expected to do that deal this week.
But as I said, depending on this podcast goes out, he's going to have done it, isn't he?
Yeah, he's probably already a Stoke player, but that's 6 million, which I think is good business for Albion.
I think we should probably park it, but I mean, the fact that Stoke are managing to do all these deals, less so and more so, you know, players that are significantly improving the squad.
Well, like the Afobe deal was good, and they've signed Atebo, who's obviously out in
they're doing
Russia.
All the things a team that's going to do well are doing.
Yeah.
Really,
well, the only question mark there for me is right. The only question mark is because he's been at Derby last year, got all the experienced players in, and they bottled it towards the end of the year. I know they got in the playoffs, but they still bottled it. They're a second for a large portion of the season, then just completely fell away. At Blues, they're always on around the playoffs, and they always tend to bottle it over the last 10-15 games. So it's whether he can kind of transfer all the confidence that we know he does have and kind of turn that Stoke team, which it should be, into a Championship winning team.
Look at Alex is there, Chris starts to be throwing confidence. this is an obscure one, but Burke, what are you saying Burke's worth?
I've gone with 12 because he's 21 years old. I mean, let's be honest, Burke's as almost a dead cert to be at Albion next season as any player, because, you know, we're still waiting to see some.
They've priced him out of the salary, really, haven't they?
I think so. I can't see them getting 15 million. No. So therefore, I've gone with 12. I just think they're waiting to get something back from what they spent on him. And hopefully, you know, the Championship's the place for him to do it.
How hopeful are you?
I'm quite hopeful. I think I'm more hopeful, actually, than the average fan, because I think people forget he's played there before. Yeah. He had a good time at Forest then for a short period.
I remember seeing him a couple of years ago at Forest, and he only played the first few games before he moved. And there was people comparing him to Gareth Bale. He was that good.
No, he's big, he's bulky. I
think they were comparing him from a perspective of
21-year-old Gareth Bale.
Physicality.
Scottish Gareth Bale.
Yes,
Scottish
21-year-old Gareth Bale.
He looks... You know. He's got the physicality of Gareth Bale, but he sort of looks like Gareth Bale without the poise, I would say. You know, he looks like you need, like, cushioned walls just for him to run into.
without the worry of the final... The kind of the killer instinct at the end, which obviously is... will hopefully come in time.
I'm actually less confident because I actually think he better suited the role of kind of a maverick substitute that he had in the Premier League than he does a player who's going to see a lot of the ball in the Championship. I'm concerned.
Unfortunately, Graham, Albion can't afford 15 million maverick substitutes, so they need.
I don't know. Well, no, you know what I mean? Hence, we are no longer in the Premier
15
League.
15 million quid players need to go straight into our first team
effect
games.
I'm not certain that he's going to be right. Go on, Alex, what do you think?
Just judging by like players, I'd go with what Joe said, £12 million. I think that's fair given that they pay 15. Had an injury hit season, but if they can get him fit and get him playing, and he shows the form that he showed at Forest a couple of years ago, but over not just 1 month before he moved, like over a whole season, then I think you've got a player who's worth about 25 million.
Eventually,
21, you know, he's no age, so
yeah,
there's a lot of development still to come. But the Leipzig move was an odd one, wasn't it?
Yeah, but they were signing a lot of young players and they still do, didn't they? And it works, so.
It works more often than not, just not with Burke, obviously.
I went 10 million. I've got the next one, I think we're all going to have the same answer to this. What's Gareth Barry worth in the current market? I mean, I've put three, but actually, if Albion was to pay Gareth Barry £1 million to go away, I could make my peace with that.
A bag of chocolate buttons, maybe.
Yeah.
A couple of drinks in Snobs.
good for a round.
So we paid money for Gareth Barry. Alex, would you contest that anyone else should pay money for him?
What did you pay for Gareth Barry?
800 grand or something, I think.
It was. I think it was negligible in the current market. It was more. It was more the wages.
It was 54 though.
I think if you wanted to leave on a free, no one's going to argue on it. So
I can understand why he's taken up the extra year. Of course,
extra year of pay.
That's a no.
2 million in the skyrocket.
That's a no-brainer for him.
Yeah.
But I mean, fingers have to be pointed at. people at the club who may or may not still be there that gave him that contract.
Can you see? I mean, so you're, I'm sure you've seen bits of him, and obviously you've seen a lot of the Championship. Can you see? In my head, he's exactly the wrong sort of player for the Championship. He hasn't got the physicality or the engine to get up and down. He can kind of pick a pass, but he's going to be next to Brunt who can pick a pass. I can't see a role for him. Is he this sort of player? Can you see him succeeding in the Championship on any level?
I think I don't think we should move too far from the fact that a few years ago Gareth Barry was a regular in the England team.
Yeah.
And he was playing for Man City, winning Premier Leagues,
and he was one of Everton's better players Everton, 2 years ago,
very well at Everton. So I mean, yes, he's had a very bad season, but all in all he still uses the ball well. He's still no, like, his positional sense won't have changed, so I could see him being fairly decent in the league. He's not going to, I mean, if Gareth Barry comes up against, I'm going to pick out some name now, I'm probably going to get sued. I don't know, Luke Murphy of Burton Albion. Gareth Barry is a better footballer than Luke Murphy of Burton Albion, who are no longer in the Championship. But so you'd expect him to come out on top in that battle, wouldn't you?
I tell you what,
experience alone.
I've no idea who Luke Murphy of Burton Albion is, but I guarantee you he beats Gareth Barry in a race.
Maybe he's not a listener.
With Barry, I really, really hope whatever happens, it doesn't become like a Mika Richards situation where he's just kind of hanging around the club with no prospect of football, just kind of taking money.
We've got some breaking transfer news. Luke Murphy signed for Albion.
This is going to be an awkward press conference. So let's bounce into Nasser Chadli, who I think we can probably all agree is likely to leave Albion this summer.
Yeah.
What do you ask for Belgian international Nasser Chadli?
He could win the World Cup. Well, obviously, if they weren't playing England, he might win the World Cup.
Yeah.
But I've always liked Chadli. I always thought there is a really good player in there. I think when he first joined Albion, he was absolutely brilliant the first four games. Then he kind of then he started to go off the ball a little bit.
We'll call that the Zuvaloon effect.
Maybe the Pulis effect as well. He obviously didn't kind of see eye to eye with Tony Pulis on a lot of the things that Pulis put forward, which I think a lot of players would probably agree with. But I still think from what he's done at Spurs, the fee Albion paid for him, what he'll rise to 18 million, won't it?
Eventually, yeah. I think he's still Albion's record signing all in.
I think Premier League clubs would be prepared to pay 20 million if they weren't. You see how many Belgian players are going to China right now? Chinese clubs pay about 40 million.
That's
the thing. It's like, I'm not sure there'll be that many Premier League clubs actually coming for Chadli.
He strikes me as a sort of player who'd be happy to go to somewhere like China.
Yeah, go abroad. I've gone with actually just the release clause, which is just if they get that.
Of course, he's got a release clause.
Around 16 million.
Well, this whole discussion was just pointless, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've got him and Rondon. I've got them as the. That's right. So yeah,
but in China they'll still pay 40 million.
Exactly.
just don't mention it. I've just put that because I think, you know what, Albion would be very, very happy to take that. I'm sure 16 million getting for the books, and he's probably on, I don't know, 70 to 80 grand a week probably.
Nice. I won't waste too much breath on him, but say I absolutely agree, he's just my sort of player, Nasser Chadli, and I'm gutted that he never really made out at Albion, but such is life. On to player who I really don't
agree. Well,
really,
one last word on Chadli. You've got to admire the fact that he got into the World Cup squad having played 15 minutes since October.
Yeah, I get the feeling that he might have been managing that. Hal Roxancano is a player that I am not a huge fan of. And actually, I've put down here 2.5 million for Hal Roxancano, but actually, I'd be pleased if Hal would give him away for free. So that's why I'm at Hal Roxancano free.
I've put three. Ballpark, same as you.
I keep forgetting he's there.
Yeah, he hasn't played much football, really. He's been injured. When he is fit, he still doesn't play. To this day, he remains one of the just most questionable pickups, even on a free. Everything about it was just odd.
Yeah.
Pulis seemed less than enthused when he arrived and made those really quite strange comments, you know, and was very, very openly happy to point out that he wasn't very high up on his priorities.
He's another player who I think would struggle for his place in the Championship more so than the Premier League. I think the Premier League had a couple of good games. Well, no, he played well for us fundamentally, but as a player, he played his back to goal, who never had any hope of scoring, who ran channels and blah blah blah. We don't need that in the Championship. We need someone that's kind of got a cutting edge that's going to create goals or score goals, which history says he won't. So these are 3 million. Alex, what do you think for Albion and Connor?
Based on that Cruyff turn against Belgium alone, I think he paid 3 million.
That's it. Yeah, nothing he's
done.
I
think that's it. There's no extra.
And the Southampton goal. Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon about 3 million to be fair. I don't think. I mean, he's not going to want to stay at Albion if he's not going
to
play.
The thing is, he's third choice to strike at the minute at Albion. Rondon Rodriguez, if and when they both leave this summer, he'll still end up being third choice next year because Albion will just bring two more strikers in ahead of him. Mm. So he's never going to be first choice.
Yeah, and he's, I mean, Albion overpaid massively because his pay had been cut in half. He becomes kind of plus one. He has been linked with Cardiff, hasn't he? Who are a Premier League side.
I mean, yeah. So
maybe spurious.
Yeah, but Neil Warnock also spent £6 million on Gary Medine.
There is this.
So, I mean, you could quite easily get £10 million for Harrods and Carnival.
That's haggled correctly, yeah.
Maybe we need to alert China. So Rondon, we probably can keep relatively short. £16.5 million is what his clause will be, and Albion shouldn't accept a penny less than that, should they?
No, I don't think so. I think Rondon's. I think Rondon actually would be a very, very good striker in the Championship. I think Rondon could get you 12, 15 goals.
I think.
It's not a bad case. It wouldn't be a bad thing if it turned out that Rondon was still at Albion come middle of August.
I remember a really highly rated manager slash coach, Alan Pardew, saying that Sullivan Rondon, if he can add goals to his game, is. I think he said he's the best striker he's worked with in terms of like hold up play and stuff.
This guy's worked with Denver Barr, who tore at the Premier League for years at a time. So
exactly, but you know, his best achievement was probably what he did at Albion last year, wasn't it, clearly?
I think seeing as you've mentioned Alan Pardew, I mean, a lot of water has gone under the bridge since Alan Pardew left. You know, there's been some nasty things said about Alan Pardew on this podcast. I think it's important now that we address them by returning to our weekly feature of all the things we think are brilliant about Alan Pardew. Off you go, guys.
Insert tumbleweed.
Yeah. So, moving on. So, we're going to end. I don't think we're going to bother with Zhang because we're not sure he's an actual proper human being. So, our final person we've got to value is Jay Rodriguez. Mm.
We done this one.
You said to me earlier we'd like to accept 20, and I said I certainly, if I was in Albion's shoes, I would accept 20.
What
figure did you put there?
I've gone 15. 15 is, I think it's slightly up on. I've got in front of me exactly what the kind of the clauses are that the add-ons that were for benefit of Southampton last summer. But I'd imagine 15 is.
I don't think
small
his value should. But we should have more than a small profit, should we? We bought a player that, again, similar to Higazi, that had an injury problem. He played an entire season.
Career's got
a new lease
of life. Yeah, it has.
So I mean, I've gone 20 million because I feel like his value should have appreciated, but also that it'd be difficult to replace him. That he can probably play two or three positions for us next season. Lone striker, he can play wide. He connects with midfield well. He'd also be a good kind of secondary striker. So he wouldn't be easy to replace, albeit we could replace him. So I've gone 20, but I feel like his value should have appreciated.
I know it's coming across. I'm just sat here bursting bubbles, but I don't think 20 million for Jared Rodriguez is like would be fair. I mean, he scored what seven Premier League goals. You take the goals in the cup out of it. I know a couple were at Liverpool, weren't they?
Yeah.
One was at Accrington. I think if you take those out of it.
And at Exeter. And
Exeter,
yeah.
And look at what he did in the Premier League. What, 7 goals in 38 games, is it? I think he played every game, didn't he?
He didn't play every game, but I mean, he was
famously dropped wasn't he? Infamously dropped.
So, 7 goals in the Premier League. I mean, it's great considering that he'd had the injuries the years before, but I don't think he kind of paid from 10 to 12 million.
It was 12 million, up front.
So, I don't think you're doubling his value in a year, having scored 7 goals.
But wouldn't you say that if a club like Burnley, who are in the UEFA Cup, or Europa League are of interest in a striker that Burnley wants should be worth in the arena of 20 million. I mean, Premier League strikers don't cost less now, do they?
I think Burnley would want him, but I don't think they'd want him at 20 million.
Yeah,
I think they'd want him at 14, which is what I'd say, 14 to be fair. 14.
Well, your thing is you're saying Dawson and Rodriguez are the subject of a £25 million bid. Based on this, you reckon that Burnley should actually be offering 40?
I'm at 38.
38.
I'm at 26.
I'm at 35.
I think Burnley are perfect within their rights to put £25 million.
Well, and Albion are perfectly within their rights to. I mean, that's the spirit of this release. The one positive for this season and potentially next season is Albion aren't necessarily driven to be a selling club. Fundamentally, on a financial level, they don't need to accept almost any of the bids we've just said, but barring the ones that have clauses. And the fact that four of their players do have clauses mean that they probably are going to play greater hard ball than ones that don't. You know, there's a greater value on consistency at Albion by virtue of the fact that the squad's about to be ravaged. Well,
what happens next to this season? We're going to have to sign about 10 players in the space of a month.
Well, I think we've literally just sold every single player on that list, haven't we? So
yeah,
whole new squad.
We're going to be like Hull.
Just get out to China and everything. What everything about, will be fine.
I know they're never going to.
Can you please send Zhang back?
Huh? I know they're never going to leave because, I mean, Moore wouldn't allow it. But what about people like Lecco and Field? What would you rate them? I saw you've seen Tyler Roberts leave last season for 2.5. So.
Yeah, I think it's kind of too difficult to say. Roberts obviously had that experience with. He was undervalued in that because his contract was about to go. Mm. But he'd had the experience with Wales and so on, which changed it. I mean, because on the face of it now, Lecco is a failed championship player on the basis of last season. So his value is not going to have appreciated Greg Wilder last season. And he's a player that still that he hasn't had the opportunity to have his breakthrough. Mm. And I think a lot of Albion fans would hope that we become the sort of team that can offer that breakthrough. Now, you look at someone like Romain Sawyers that we're looking at returning back. We never offered those opportunities before, same with Chris Wood and so on. I mean, this season needs to be an opportunity for Lecco to succeed or fail. And, you know, it's a bit like you were talking about Burt before. It's not beyond the realms of possibility that you could be talking, you know, 10 million plus for Lecco at the end of the season. Yeah. It's equally not beyond the realms of possibility that you might be worth nothing at the end of this season. It's just too hard to say, really. But fundamentally, if he doesn't break through this season, one would question whether he ever would. Field's probably different. I don't know. I don't think I could value.
I think Field's proven himself to a certain extent, hasn't he?
I think Field should be worth more than Roberts, I guess.
I'd value Field at about 4 million.
Fair
enough. I think Field certainly should be really, really very much eyeing up a first team place next year.
Yeah, 100%.
Jimmy Shan's got a big role to play in the kind of overlooking the, or rather overseeing the kind of transition of players like Kane Wilson and Rakeem Harper as well, who've, you know, kind of we've glimpsed fleetingly in the first team. But you know, there are players there that you've got to give a chance to. Fitzwater and Palmer, and
I think the formation's going to be really important for Field. I think Field is a midfielder who has the potential to play well in a three-man midfield, but I don't know where you fit him in a 4-4-2. I'm not sure he kind of has that kind of physicality.
Do a Pardew, stick him on the wing.
I'm not a big fan of Alan Pardew. I'd hope that there's kind of the tactical possibility. Like I said, but Field and Lecco players that I think that's there's this kind of like latent hope with Albion that for once, you know, you actually have these like very good players coming through, but we've always been sort of slightly too pressed in the Premier League years to actually give them their opportunity.
You've also got two coaches working there now in Darren Moore and Jimmy Shannon, who've actually kind of brought these kids through, so
yeah, know all about them.
They definitely should get a chance, shouldn't they?
And I mean, the fact that they've been linked with Sawyers, I think, is a real good example of the fact that they kind of have that interest. You know, they've renewed the contract to Fitzwater, which is good news, but probably equally they're kind of desperate in that position. So we'll kind of see how that pans out. But we've sold all those players now, so there's a lot of money to spend. It's a bit like we've just basically mapped out a dream game of fantasy football for all of our listeners. We'd like, hopefully, next week to have an actual transfer to talk about, but we're going to make no promises where that's regarded. But we do, as ever, thank you for joining us. Equally, thank you, Alex, and you, Joe.
Thank you.
And please join us again next week for another episode of Goodman Corner.